Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence. Thank you, Papa Joe, for the wonderful praise and worship, the music team. Thank you very much. There's a wonderful presence of God in the building today. The anointing of God is here. The presence of God is here. The anointing that is here to break every yoke, destroy every yoke, and release you and set you free. Jesus said, my yoke is lighter. Take my yoke. And we must be people that always understand the principles and the word of God and continue to walk in the word of God. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you that are watching here in Cairns, Living Light Gospel Church, all the family, or those of you who are joining us from other states this morning. We welcome you. Thank you for your being with us this morning. We love having you guys partaking with communion with us and worshiping with us and continue to walking with in the path that God has been leading us as a church. So we welcome you. If you're in Australia or New Zealand or PNG, Fiji, Bulawinaka, all those that are watching in Fiji, and all different parts of the world, we know that you're watching because we see you. We notice the amount of people that we've been reaching, and God is doing an amazing thing. We are reaching more people now on live stream than ever before as a local church, which is a powerful thing. Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. I'm excited because the gospel is being preached more quicker than ever before through the live stream. Whatever the enemy thinks that he can do to shut down church gathering and bringing people together, God will always use it for the good of his kingdom. Always interpret what is happening around the world based on God's eyes and based on the lens that God uses to scrutinize and see the world, not through the world of media and not through the world of your own interpretation, but the interpretation of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. My message this morning hasn't changed. It's still the same. I believe that I just wanted to kind of tap a little bit into the pastoral principles of just bringing the word to encourage you this morning. Hallelujah. Papa Joe and I have been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, and we have a panel on Friday that we are continuing to speak about the Holy Spirit because we both came from a place where they hid the Holy Spirit from us until we came to Christ. Hallelujah. And the power of God through the Holy Ghost transformed our lives. And I pray that this morning, this word will reach you, this word will touch you, this word will transform you. But Jesus said, let him who have ears, hear. Every time Jesus speaks and he actually points to the parts of our body that receives information, and that is our ears and our eyes. So every time he says, let him who have what? Ears, hear the word of God. Or let him who have eyes, understand. You understand by seeing things. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for the word. Father, we thank you for your powerful, powerful word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light. It guides us. Lord, throughout this time that is what we called as uncharted waters, Lord, we thank you that you're guiding us through by your word and by your spirit. I pray that you continue to guide us, lead us, order our steps. The Bible says a step of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. Father, we thank you that when we come and stand and walk blameless and righteous before you, your word says that you will guide us, that our steps will be ordered and guided by your spirit. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. I thank you, Lord, that the hearts of people are transformed this morning, not because of anything, not because of what we are, but because of your word and because of your spirit. Hallelujah. We pray, Holy Ghost, you breathe upon the word this morning. Lord, release it and ignite it into the hearts of every man, every woman, and every children watching this morning. We pray in Yeshua's name, and all God's people agreed and said, amen. Hallelujah. Shift 2020, God first. Hallelujah. We haven't shifted from our theme of 2020. It's still the same. God first before anything else. And my message this morning is, as a man thinketh, so is he. Last week I spoke about guarding your hearts, not only guarding your hearts, but guarding your soul, which is what your soul is made of, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Those are the places where the enemy attacks all the time. And I'm kind of at this road at the moment, this path to bring a lot more to you. I mean, the Word of God is, it just takes a week to teach it and to bring it to people. And so I'm not satisfied when you just preach a word on Sunday and that's it and leave it. I have to go and dig more into it and to bring more to you, to help you to be able to walk in the path that God wants us to be. I get so encouraged when I read the Bible and when I read the Word of God and when I understand how Jesus talks about the kingdom all the time. I get so encouraged when I read the promises of God in this book we call the Bible. That's why I encourage you to this morning that whatever is coming your way or our way, whatever that is happening in the world today, we already know the end result. We already know the end. You know why? Because this book tells us that we are on a winning side. Hallelujah. And so with that already in our hearts, and with that already we know, then we should be able to walk in the path that God has already ordained for us. Jesus always cautioned. He always says, beware. His words are always beware. So when he cautioned his disciples, when they ask him, when are you going to come back? He says, just go and live life the way I taught you to live life, the way I showed you to live life. That is not for you to worry. And he said, even I don't know when I'm coming back. It's my Father that knows everything. Even the angels do not know. So whilst you're waiting, walk blameless and righteous before God. That's all Jesus, the prerequisite of walking in the kingdom of God is pretty much that. Nothing else. I want you to remember that your faith is only as strong. I'm just introducing my message this morning. I love bringing an introduction to prepare our hearts for the word of God, the theme of the morning. Your faith is only as strong as the test it survives. So no matter how much you brag about your life or your faith that you have, the test results of it is going to, that you're going through now, will prove it. Hallelujah. Let me just, I'm gonna hook this onto a scripture very soon. You know, we call crisis problems. I believe God calls it training. For us, it is a training ground. For us, that when our faith goes through some shaking and some times of crisis, it's a testing time. It's not a testing time to God. It's God doesn't test anybody. God allows the test to come, but he allows you to be trained in the midst of that crisis. So, you know, we must be people that always walk and say, hey, I'm going through some training ground at the moment. Hallelujah. You need to take the word problem, crisis, all that negative word out of your vocabulary so that when you speak, it's according to how God sees it. God sees everything the way he sees it. So we need to start talking and walking in that way. So when somebody goes, hey, I have a problem. No, you don't. You're just going through some training right now. So let's work with you so that you can be trained up and be strong, hallelujah, in your faith. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. I can hear the church. Woo. Oh, I'm excited. Hallelujah. Every time you make a confession, listen to me, it will be tested. Let me just anchor that onto scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, gold perishes, but your faith stands. Through it is it, though it is tested by fire, hallelujah, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says that the genuineness of your faith, this is, the word genuineness is the real deal. Your faith has to be real deal. This is not fake Christianity. Walking in the kingdom of God and become born again and saved, you can't fake that. It comes from the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus said. You cannot enter into this kingdom that I'm talking about unless you're what? Born again in the Spirit. The spirit man needs to be transformed, changed. Hallelujah. Whatever that's living inside of you that's not from God has to go out, and the Spirit of God comes in to live inside of you. Only that way, the genuineness of your faith begins to shine. You cannot fake faith. You cannot fake Christianity. You cannot pay lip service to the things of God. It has to be real inside your heart. Hallelujah. That when people see you, what's that inside of you is a real thing. Hallelujah. The real deal. Real deal Christianity is when your faith is being tested, trialed, and proven before men. Hallelujah. Remember the confession of Peter? Let me just bring an example here. He said to Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. This is from Peter's word mouth. Peter looked at Jesus and said, hey, listen, I'm going to die with you. Even if you're going to die, I'm going to come and die with you. I will not, he said, I will never disown you. Jesus said, Peter, Satan is required you to be tested for the words you just said. He said, Satan is knocking at your door right now. Whatever you just said, you're going to be tested, my friend. So be careful. When you say something, you're going to be ready for the test that comes. In the kingdom of God, things do not come to you unless you confess them. And every time you confess something, it will be tested, my friends. It's going to come. The test is going to come. And test is good for us. You know, the Bible says the devil goes around, roaming around. I love Pastor Papa Joe's words. Gallivanting around or loafing around, looking to accuse the brethren or looking for something that is a foothold that he can stand on. That's why you cannot walk around having something inside your heart and harboring unforgiveness and hatred and fornication and living in sin, carrying something that belongs to the devil, because he will go up to God and say, he's got something that belongs to me. And God says, that's true. We need to understand. That's why walking before God blamelessly is the key to this church than nothing else. Integrity to me is more important in this church than anything else. Walking in integrity so that we can truly represent God and the genuineness of our Christianity or followers of Christ will shine because we're not faking it. You cannot fake the things of God. I said last week, the natural movement of the world or life will bring out whatever that you have placed inside your heart. Hallelujah. It's going to be tested. The moment you confess with your mouth and in your heart that you are a follower of Christ Jesus, you will be constantly under attack. You know that big sign and target? You're carrying that one right now, right here. You're walking around with a target on your head. Who says Christianity is going to be nice? Nobody. Jesus didn't say Christian following him will be easy. He says they will come after you. Even your own family will disown you. Even your own friends that you think are your friends will disown you. People that you think are Christians in church will turn around and stab you in the back. Hallelujah. Why? Because you carry a target. You go shopping at Target, you know the big sign Target? That's right on your face right now. Because the enemy is looking at that all the time and say, I'm going to go against that until it falls. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot fake anything in Christ Jesus. That is why if you haven't developed a prayer life, you need to start now. Start developing a prayer and a meditational life right now. This lockdown should be able to cause us to become closer to God ever before. During the lockdown, where are you going to go? They said, stay at your house, stay away from everybody. Stay there and get connected to God. And if you haven't even built a prayer life by then, my friends, it's not going to be easy when all this other stuff comes against us. The church is going to be persecuted. But you know, persecution, we shouldn't be frightened of persecution. We shouldn't be worried about persecution. We should encourage it. Why? Because it causes us to grow. If somebody is persecuted, it has to grow. It has to do something inside of you to create you to become a new person. Hallelujah. You know, pastors are not going to follow you around making sure that you live right. I don't have time to come knocking at your door and say, hey, are you living right? You have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. And if you cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit through your prayer and your meditation, then what makes you think you're going to listen to pastors and leaders who are trying to correct you? Hallelujah. You need to understand that the Holy Spirit's job is to convict you. Yes, we like this word, oh, our job is to love people and the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. Well, stay convicted. Be able to be convicted easy. Have a heart that is soft and pliable so that God can move and transform you. Build a crocodile skin, which I'm going to come to very soon. It's called the armor of God. But inside has to be soft and pliable so that God can reach. Only God can reach into that. But protect everything else. Hallelujah. Pastors cannot follow you around, my friends. You have the Holy Spirit screaming at you that you're living in sin. And if you keep moving in that direction, you will stop hearing from the Holy Spirit. That's why prayer and meditation is so important for us. Build it in your own home and in your own time. Bible says, go into your what? Closet and pray. A university of silence. I love that. That's the place I learned to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you're a person that does not submit under authority, then what makes you think that you're going to submit under the authority of the Holy Spirit? What makes you think? If you say, oh, you know, I don't have to submit under anybody, listen to me. If you are that kind of person, you need to change your attitude and start to understand that only through authority God can be able to give you something. If you're a person that walks in authority and understands authority and abides by the laws of the land and the word of God, then God, you are now qualified to receive something from God so that you can truly represent Him and not misrepresent Him. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Submitting under pastors. I hear people say, oh, I don't submit under any pastors. My favorite word for you this morning. Shut up. I'm gonna print a t-shirt that says shut up, and at the back it says nobody likes you. Two things. Shut up and nobody likes you. Once you have that, you'll be so happy. Hallelujah. Your life will change because nothing that comes from people will affect you anymore. Jesus already won that. Nobody likes you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody likes me except you. As long as you like you and God likes you, everything is fine. You don't need anybody else to like you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the one that we've been talking about all the time. That is why Jesus cautioned us in His words. And when He made this statement in John chapter 16, verse 1, and Jesus said, He says like this. I just had to say that. That's Papa Joe. The Word of God says like this. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things that they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Verse 4 says, but these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. When you go through some trials when you go through some training, you say, yeah, Lord, you did remind me of that. You did spoke about that. Hallelujah. That's why this book is so important for us. Stay close to it, but not just have it inside your head. And that's really what my message this morning is. Jesus says, crisis is coming. I'm telling you now, because when it happens, you are not shocked or surprised. When you know that something is coming your way, it won't bother you because you expect it to happen. A lot of people are shocked because they didn't expect crisis. Listen, who told you that life in crisis is going to be easy? If a pastor's telling you that, tell your pastor, the Bible didn't tell me that. Hallelujah. There's going to be trials and tribulations coming. The day you give your heart to Jesus, a big target is in your head at the moment. We have to understand why God allows certain things to be recorded in this book, because He wants you to learn some principles from these scriptures to prepare you to live an effective life in this world. Let me just bring the armor of God before I move on first. Hallelujah. In the whole armor of God, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Where does His might come from? The Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Put on the full armor of God. It didn't say just one armor, full armor. People are just walking around with helmet of salvation and nothing else. Don't just wear something just for the sake of wearing it. Oh, I'm just going to put a helmet of salvation today and go out. I'll just leave the sword of the Spirit behind. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It tells us our warfare first. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Where? In the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Therefore, the media, the world is attacking you right now because of the little box inside your house. because of the phone that you're carrying, because of that Facebook and YouTube and things that you're spending too much time on. That's where the power, that's where the attack is coming from. The principalities against and powers against and the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, it says, take up the all armor of God. Everybody say, all armor of God. Hallelujah. That you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Stand. This battle that we're fighting is not our fight. Who told you that you're an army of Christ? You're not. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of the citizen, the army fights for you. There's a host of angels and an army of God fighting for you every time. All the Bible is telling you to do is put on that armor and stand against what's coming against you. You don't go fighting. He's the one that's fighting for you. The battle is his. I like the principles of the walls of Jericho. That's where the principles of shut up came from. God says, shut up. Walk around the place for 7 days. Shut up. Don't say anything. Why? God knows the murmuring and the complaining and all that stuff that comes from people. And he says, listen, I'm fighting this battle for you. Shut up. Put on the whole armor of God and stand. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all that, to what? Stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, hallelujah. I like Mama Evelyn's explanation of truth. Truth, you cannot do anything about it. Truth is truth. Naked truth is naked truth. You cannot put clothes on it. You take clothes off it. It's still naked. Hallelujah. I love it. It's such a, you know, Jesus talks about parables. I love Mama Evelyn's parables. It comes from that PNG connection. Hallelujah. Therefore, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, breastplate of righteousness, breastplate to protect your heart. Everything that the enemy comes against is where it is. It comes through here, comes through your eyes, and it settles inside your heart. Hallelujah. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the Bible says the gospel or the word of God guides our feet. Everything that comes from the word of God guides your feet. Hallelujah. The gospel, and with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, hallelujah, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is just a book. It is not effective until it sits inside your subconscious mind. When it's inside of you, then you can actually live it. I don't care how much you know Scripture. I don't care how much you can quote Scripture just like that. If it's not inside your heart, you can forget it, because it's not going to work. It's got to stay inside of there. The sword of the Spirit is not just a book. It's the words written inside your heart. Hallelujah. God says, I will write everything on their minds and inside their hearts. That is what Jesus cautioned us. Hallelujah. And so we must always understand to walk with the full armor of God. And I like the end of it. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always in what? All prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, hallelujah. Perseverance means don't give up, keep going. And supplication for all the saints. The Bible says after you put all that on, then stand. And what? Pray. Your battle or your warfare is not yours. It belongs to God. All you do, and when God talks about the shield of faith, it's not a little shield that's around your arm like that. It's a shield that protects you. And Paul was referring to that shield what the Romans use. It goes from your feet all the way up over your head. And it's a shield that you can't carry and move around. You have to plant it down and stand. That's really why prayer is so important to us. That our battle is not against flesh and blood. God fights every battle for us. Every time you read the Bible, God says, I just need a little bit of people, just a small group of people, because I don't want them to take glory for everything that I do. I am the one when he said to Joshua, this battle is mine. Hallelujah. Be still and know that I am God. All these powerful promises that we get all the time. So my message today is a continuation of last Sunday's. As a man thinketh, so is he. You know, because nothing is more worse than wrong mentality. We Christians walk around with so much wrong mentality in our head. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, your word, I like David. David got a revelation of that. And he wrote this psalm and he says, your word, I have what? Hidden it in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is David talking to God. You know, we think that when we sin against men. When you sin against somebody, you sin against God. Everything that is done, it says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. What does it mean by hiding God's word in your heart? Well, it does not mean to memorize text alone. You cannot just memorize and walk around memorizing text. Because if you memorize text and it doesn't sit inside your heart, then it's a waste of memory. You're taking up space, my friend. Clear up some head, put it inside your heart so that when it comes out with the real deal. The real genuineness Paul talks about. The Bible talks about the real genuineness of representing Christ Jesus. How many folks you have known that can quote scriptures just like that? I can't do that. I can't just quote scriptures like that. I have to go and study scripture. And I'm a person that don't just quote scriptures. If I quote scripture, I have to go and check it. And I got to check the post-text or pre-text and the post-text, because all that connects to the scripture. And people use just one scripture, leaves out all the post-text and all the pre-text, and then form their own religion. Bible comes with both packages. So that's why you need to study the Word of God properly. Hallelujah. Paul said to Timothy, study to make yourselves what? Approved. You got to be approved by people. People will look at you and go, yes. He's not just a person that quotes scripture. He understands and he walks scripture. Yes, you can memorize scripture texts. So can the devil. Devil said to Jesus, if you're a son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. And he misquoted scripture. The devil misquotes scripture, my friends. He knows scripture, but he misquoted out of context. And that's really what's happening. And he said, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The devil quoted that scripture to Jesus. The issue is not the text. It's the word in the text. And I call it the revelation of the word. When you understand the revelation of this word that you just spoke. Hallelujah. Put that in your heart. Not just in your mind. Put it in your heart. In other words, you memorize it until it becomes part of your taught pattern. You can think nothing else but God. It's like a baker can think nothing else except cakes and bread and recipes and all that stuff. And it's the same. The doctors think about medicine and about the disease and they got to study. That's all they think about. But you and I, all we have to think about is what God is doing. Think about God. Put good thoughts inside your subconscious mind. Hallelujah. It's not just the text. It's living the text. The truth, the principles, and the precept of the text. Put that in your heart. In other words, you memorize it until it becomes part of your thought pattern. Not for you to quote it back to people, but to live it. Stop quoting scriptures to people. Live it. Live scriptures so that people will see it. People don't want some kind of memory text. They want to see your life. They want to see scripture truly revealed in you when you're walking, when you speak, when you treat each other, when you do things around people. People want to see that. The world is looking for that. They want to see it and go, yeah, that's a true follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why am I still on this? It is important for us because there's so much misrepresentative of Jesus in the kingdom. The world today. Church is full of them. I prefer you leave scripture and not to just quote scripture. Because your life is seen long before the word comes out of your mouth. People see you first before they hear you. So I prefer that you, as a follower of Christ this morning, if you're listening to me, put the scripture in your heart and walk according to that scripture, according to the word of God. And let that be just your life. You don't have to say anything. Even when you are ministering to somebody, when you are trying to go and talk to somebody, just the fruits that are inside of you, people will trust you. People will say, yeah, I want to listen to this guy. I know, because his life is what he says it is. He's not just someone that says it, but he walks it. Hallelujah. Jesus made a powerful statement. He said, be holy. Simple question. A simple statement. He says, be holy, for I am holy. Oh, my Father in heaven is holy. That's your life. Your life, your original life with God was holiness. Nothing else. It took you out of eternity. See, your life, your spirit is eternal. But your life today, it took you out and put you inside a body that's connected to time. You and I are slave to time right now. Our body is a slave to time. And when the time is up, your time is up. But your spirit is eternal. So when he puts you inside the timeline, there's a purpose for you that he wants you to achieve before your time is up. So your spirit is eternal. So when you speak about things, speak about eternal things, because that's how you came. That's where you're from. That's where you're going back. That's why if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, if you love yourself, you love God, that's it. You don't need anybody else to love you. You put your trust too much on man, and man will let you down. You don't come to church to be nice or to find somebody that likes you. You come to church to worship God. You come to church to connect with God. You come to church to ever communicating with, what do you call it? What's the right word for it? You come to have a experience with God. That's the word. To experience his love and his power. And where does it come? It comes through others who have the same. Hallelujah. What scripture are you quoting and memorizing that you are not living right now? Don't answer me that question. A lot of people like to quote scriptures that they're not even living with it. You know, you hear me say all the time, if the coconut tree is bearing mango tree, there's something wrong with the tree. So you need to chop it off and put nursery up and grow the real mango tree. They will bear the real fruits. Hallelujah. Jesus always says, no matter how much they are operating in the spirit or operating in all that amazing power, check the fruits. If the fruits are not right, they're not right. Psalm 4, verse 4 says, tremble and do not sin. Meditate where? In your heart, upon your bed, and what? Be still. Oh, I like that. Salah, pause. We love to pray and shout and scream and give our shopping list to God. And God, I want this and I need this. And we pray for this and we pray for that. God says, I'm trying to talk and you people are talking too much. Can you just shut up for a second so I can talk? And then when you shut up, you know, this is why I said shut up. I love that word because God tells me to shut up sometimes. And when I know when to shut up. And I know when to not answer my critics. I don't answer critics anymore. I don't answer people that throw stones at me or say things against me. You know what? You know, this is what I do. I dust my hands and I dust my feet. And I said, God, you deal with these people because that's your battle. If they're doing this to me, they're doing this to you. So you deal with them. Hallelujah. Because my heart is kept clean so that I don't sin before you, God. Hallelujah. Great principles. Are you getting something this morning? Psalm 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within where? My heart. What's the heart? The subconscious mind. If the word of God sits inside of here, you're a powerful man. The devil is fearful. Not because you carry a Bible and wear a nice shirt and go to church. The devil is fearful of a person that has the word of God sitting inside his heart or her heart. And a person of prayer. Ooh, hallelujah. Devil is fearful of you. If you are that person, you're a dangerous man and a dangerous woman to the devil right now. Hallelujah. I spoke a lot about your subconscious mind, which is your mind and your conscious mind, which is your mind and your subconscious mind, which is your heart. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about the belly or the heart all the time. That's where we must place the word of God in there. Because without that, it'll be just lip service and fake Christianity, fake Christians, fake people. Before people, you live really righteous. When nobody's watching, Jesus calls it what? The whitewashed tombs or sepulchres. It's really white and clean outside, but underneath, decay and death. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. He doesn't mince words. And so if you have a problem with that word, you deal with it with Jesus. Go and talk to him. If you have a problem with what is being shared this morning, if you have a problem with the word of God dealing with you, go and talk to God about it. Don't talk to me. I'm coming from his word, and I'm coming from his principles, his precepts, and what I understand about his word. Hallelujah. So your heart is your subconscious mind. It is the part of your mind that you don't even think about. We think about everything here, but we don't think about it here. That's why when you say things and we go, oops, I said something. Where was that? It was sitting inside of there. It was just waiting for the natural movement of life to bring it out. Hallelujah. So we have to be very careful about that. So how do we do that? How do we get God's word in our subconscious mind? Well, there's only one word. Meditate. Study the word. Paul says, Timothy, study. Don't just read portions of scripture. Read one scripture for 1 week and study it. And go and check the pretext and the post-text and check what the Hebrew translation means. And that's when I do, when I prepare a word of God, I don't just bring the word. I spend time dissecting it and looking at different translations and going back to the Hebrew and the Greek references to see what was happening at the time. What did Paul said, what he said. What did Jesus said, what he said. Hallelujah. Those things are connected. So we need to understand that. Meditation. Psalm 1 verse 1. I love that psalm. It says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He, what? Meditates day and night. Hallelujah. Listen, if you haven't built a prayer life or built a meditation life throughout this time that we're living in right now, you should thank God for coronavirus right now. All of us Christians or people follow Christians, thank God for coronavirus. Why? Because it's done something to us that we've never seen before. Our prayer life has lifted. Our time with the family is really good. Our connection with our children is really nice. We never had that. We always get up in the morning, make coffee, breakfast, off to work, drive to work, drive to a job that you hate, come back to a family that you're so annoyed with. That's life for people right now. People are living life like that. That's why meditation and studying the Word of God and praying, it's you know, when I get away from people, I just like to be quiet, sit still, and listen to God. Listen to him speak. Hallelujah. So if you say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, you've just read a text. Now, I encourage you to go and meditate on that text for 3 weeks. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all that shall be added unto you. Sit on that forever, all your life. Get up in the morning, sit on that. Hallelujah. I love Solomon. When Solomon, God asked Solomon, what do you want? Solomon says, God, give me wisdom, because I can't do this thing. I've seen my father. I've seen Moses. I've heard stories about Moses, and I've had stories about Joshua, and all this complaining and murmuring. People, he said, give me wisdom to run this great, he said, multitude of the great nation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Wow, the principle was so powerful. God says, Solomon, because you've asked for that, then you shall have everything else that come after that. See, God will not stop or hesitate, to give you wisdom, because he wants you to not walk around with no wisdom. He wants you to understand, to walk around with wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge. You read the Bible, you study the Bible, but if it's not applied, that's not wisdom. When it's applied to you in your life, that becomes wisdom. People look at you and go, wow, I like this man because he's so wise. Everything that comes out of him is wise words. Where does wise words come from? Wise words come from the Word of God. Wise words are empowered and imparted into you by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, let's bring things into perspective and start to go back and walk from down there up. Because a lot of us get saved, come in the church, hallelujah, I'm on fire for God. Yeah, what are you on fire for? What part of you is on fire? Because I've seen people go, hallelujah, praise the Lord. One day, next day, they're down in the dump again. That's why we need to study the Word of God, hear right, believe right, and live right. These are the things that we need to do. I come from religion. When I discovered the kingdom, I said, no one will control me again. No one. No priest. Nobody will tell me you need to say this prayer and say that prayer and say this prayer and put this thing on your wall and wear this and put this over your head and pour this over you. No. Sorry. Hallelujah. I get excited. You know why? Because I've discovered the kingdom of God. I've discovered what Jesus spoke about. Hallelujah. This is a practice that we don't do very much these days, and that's meditation. Meditation is very important for us. The world is looking for more for demonstration of the Word of God than just the memorization of it. People walk around memorizing scriptures. That's great. But if the scripture doesn't come from your heart, that doesn't do anything for anybody. Psalm 37 verse 31. It says, the law of his God is in where? His heart. And then it says, his steps do not sleep. When you have the law of God or the Word of God in your heart, it is ordered by God. God orders your step. It says here, your steps do not sleep. God orders it. God watches over it. The gospel of what? The gospel, your feet. The gospel of righteousness. It is not good enough to memorize scripture. It is not in your heart. Read the Word of God and meditate on it. I want to say this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit to transfer the text in your subconscious mind, that it is when the Word settles inside your heart, grows strong roots, and you find you start to bear much fruit in the Spirit. Walk in that place that God is wanting all of us to walk, and that is walking blameless before God. When you do that, your family benefits, your children benefits, your job, the place that you go to work, your boss benefits. Your boss benefits from wonderful fruits that are inside your heart, inside your life. The church benefits. The church grows because people are bearing fruit inside their life. Hallelujah. When you only read memorized texts, all you have is lots of information. There's a lot of people walking around with lots of information, but there is no real foundation of where they should be. Hallelujah. So when the storms of life comes to your foundation, it shakes it. Your foundation should be built on the Word of God, and not just only in memory, but in your heart. Leave it, let it sit in your heart. Let it become your life. That's why the men think it. It says, not as a man, the word says, a man think it, not as a man memorize it. The Bible says, when you think it, not when you memorize it. So when you think, you see, you think automatically. How do you think? You think from your memory, but your thinking connects to your heart. So when you think from that amazing well that is full of the nice fruits of the Spirit. When we understand the principles of the Word of God, we will not be shaken by the circumstances or obstacles that come our way. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not what? Seen. The important thing to remember and understand is faith is not blind. There is no such thing as blind faith. So there's faith comes from what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Psalms 119 verse 101. It says, your word, which I pray this word, this prayer, this I pray this psalm all the time. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. There is no such thing, my friends, this morning. There is no such thing as blind faith. First John chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, that his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Oh, I love that. Whatever that is born of God overcomes the world. Let me just talk about this word overcome for a minute. The Holy Ghost has reminded me. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So, listen, my friends. Jesus promised that we should be just of good cheer. Why? Because he's overcome the world. So, don't try to go and overcome something that is already overcome. Hallelujah. That's a key principle in our life. He says, his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes. Whatever. Anything that is born in the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Anything that is born of God automatically overcomes the world. And this is the victory, and it says here, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Hallelujah. The faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, that's the key right there. Hallelujah. When you believe in Jesus, you believe in the Word, and the Word become flesh and dwell what? Amongst us. I'm going to stand on this Word, and this Word is going to overcome the obstacles before me. When he says, "I have overcome the world," then when you believe Jesus, when you believe the Word, because he said, the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So when you believe that Word, which you believe Jesus, then you can overcome everything that has been thrown at you. Hallelujah. Faith sees the problem, understands the situation, but faith looks past the obstacles. I like that. It looks past the obstacles. It doesn't walk around it. Faith doesn't walk around it. Faith looks past it. Faith overcomes the situation. Hallelujah. My friends, this is a short word that I brought to you this morning because I felt that the Holy Spirit was going this way. We haven't changed the path that we're coming in. So I want to encourage you this morning. Do not believe what you see, but believe what you saw. Believe, you see, God gives us dreams and visions. And sometimes these dreams and visions, it can be for today, for tomorrow, or it can be for the future. If God's given you something and you know that it's from God, then believe on that. You know, the example of Joseph. Joseph saw a dream. When he was in a situation, when he was thrown into this pit and left to die, and then taken to Egypt and become a slave, his present time or the situation that he was in didn't affect what he saw. He saw something, and that's why I said, believe in what you saw, not what you see before you today. Whatever the world is throwing at you today, don't believe that. Believe in what God has already foreseen. His Word says it. He's already finished it, and we are just living a life in time. Your life, let me just go back to that really quickly. Your life came from eternity, came from God. The Bible says that, before you were in your mother's womb, before your mother and your father even thought about you, even when they're starting to plan and say, "We're going to have little Joe today, we're going to have little Joe, or we're going to have little Janet, or we're going to have little TJ," before they even thought about that, the Bible says, you were with God. Your spirit belongs to God. You were with him. He purposed you, created you, and gave you everything. All he needed to do was put you into your mother's womb, put you into a earthly vessel so that you can now become a person living in a moment of time. You have time. God is eternal. He comes out of eternity, puts him in the timeline to live our lives together. Your life, see, your spirit is eternal, but your body is locked in time. That's why you have a time limit of when you're born till the day you die. What are you doing with your life right now? If you're experimenting with life that doesn't belong to you, then you are just experimenting something and you're going to destroy yourself. Because nothing that you don't understand, if you don't understand that your spirit is eternal and your body is flesh, It will go down, and that's the end of it. But your spirit lives. True. This is the closing of my message today, and this is a message that I want to say to you before I pray the salvation prayer, because I don't want to leave this service today or stop this message today without bringing you the message of salvation. Hallelujah. Our lives. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. In other words, in heaven, there is no time. Only on earth there's time. In heaven, it's no time. Hallelujah. You and I are given a purpose to fulfill, and that purpose has a time limit to it on this physical earth, because your purpose gives life or meaning to life. You know why people kill themselves? Because they have no purpose in life. They see that there's no purpose. There's no more use living, because the enemy tells you, you're no good. You're nothing. You can amount to nothing. Listen, my mother used to yell at me, says, Ben, you'll be amount to nothing. You'll be like those guys, you know, my mother used to compare me to those guys who used to move those little toilet pots in those days where we don't have flushing toilets. So the truck will come by, stop, and the guys will come out and pick up your little container of gifts and puts it in the car and drives it away. And so when the truck drives past you, everybody goes, My mother, this is what my mother used to say. Ben, you're going to be that. That's your job. You're going to be like that. Because I was a little naughty little boy. Every time a little kid cries somewhere, all the kids in one chorus say, Ben did it. That was my life. That's why my mom, when she gets angry, she curses me. She says, you're going to be like that. You're going to be carrying those buckets and your life will be amount to nothing. Listen to me. Your mother may be saying this to you. Your father may be saying this to you. Your teacher may be saying this to you. Listen, your teacher says you're a B student, C student, E student. How does she know that? Maybe she's an E student. Hallelujah. So nobody has any right to compare a creation of God to just because they've been to university. They think, oh, everybody should go to university. Sometimes when my wife said to me, Ben, we need to get our children's mark up there, I said, listen, these guys are so talented. You would not believe how talented and creative they are. Maybe school is boring for them. I'm just talking to somebody today. Hallelujah. Because I see it in my kids. So I don't want to try and tell my kids, you're going to become like this and become like that and maybe do this. And no, they have their own life. That's why the Bible says, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Your purpose is known by God. So your purpose is not the same as everybody else's purpose. So my friends today, listen to me. God loves you, but God also wants your spirit, because that spirit belongs to Him. When your body goes down, your spirit goes to eternity, lives forever. There's no time limit to that. Hallelujah. The only difference is that you're going to get a glorified body, just like Jesus had. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited about that. The glorified body, what? To rule and reign in the new heaven and the new earth that God's going to bring. Hallelujah. And listen to me. His throne is in Jerusalem, not in Rome. Pope is not somebody that you should be worshiping. Jesus is the real deal. Hallelujah. So if you've been led by religion, I'm telling you right now, come back. Come back and study the Word of God and see what the Word... Think for yourself. Don't let people control you and tell you something. There's a Holy Spirit that is here to teach us the Word of God and order our steps and guide our paths. And when I discovered the kingdom, my life changed. Hallelujah. Because your purpose gives life meaning. Without a purpose, life is without meaning. Verse 10 says, and I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of man are to be what? Occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time also. He has put what? Eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. The secret things of God only comes through the Holy Spirit, who reveals all that to us. The Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, took you out of eternity and placed you in time and gave you purpose. Your spirit is eternal. Your spirit lives forever. And then you came to earth just for some time. Make up your mind to follow Christ today. Give your heart to Jesus today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes or goes to the Father except through me. And you cannot come to me except by the power of the Holy Spirit that draws you to me. Hallelujah. I know that the Holy Spirit is talking to somebody this morning. And I want to say, don't fight that. When you're sensing the Holy Ghost today, if you're listening and your life is not going the way it's going, listen, none of us had any idea of what our lives were going to be until Jesus stepped in and everything became clear. The veils, the scales in our eyes dropped just like it dropped when Apostle Paul saw that light, and truth came through Christ, revealed everything to us, and the truth has been guiding us all this time. Hallelujah. And it can happen to you today. So before I close, I want to pray this prayer to you this morning. I want to pray this prayer with you this morning. And I want you to repeat after me this prayer. The prayer of salvation. It's very simple. Salvation is not when you hear a big lightning crash or some lightning bolt or some big noise happening and you feel you're changed. It happens in a twinkling of an eye when you say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, transform me. Boom, it happens right there. Hallelujah. It is not by works. You cannot do anything to receive salvation. It doesn't come by works. It doesn't come by all the good works that you're doing. Good people end up in hell, my friends. People that are looking for healing and don't want to come to Christ, you can be totally healed and go with your healed body straight to hell. You need Christ. Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Lift your hands before God and say this prayer after me. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. And the way that I have turned my back on you. I come to you now. And I repent of all the unrighteousness in my life. I turn away from it all. And today, I turn to you. Your word says if I come to you in repentance, that you will forgive all my sin. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. Thank you for shedding your blood and for dying on the cross for me to pay the price in full for all my sin. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I receive your blood to wash me and to make me clean from all sin. Lord Jesus, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lead me and guide me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can walk with you every day of my life. Thank you for receiving me and for forgiving me. I am washed. I am clean. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, oh God, for the soul that said this prayer today. Lord, you said that the Bible says that all angels are rejoicing just for one soul. Father, if today, this morning, one soul has been transformed, one soul has been saved, one soul understands the principles of your word, today, Lord, we rejoice with the angels. We give you glory. We give you honor. I thank you for your word that has gone forth to your people. I pray that, Lord, they will be people of meditation and not just talking. They be people that will, Lord, be quiet and be still and know that you are God. Understanding the principles of the battle is always yours and not theirs. That they put on the full armor of God, not to go and fight, but they put on the full armor of God to protect them from the fiery darts of the enemy. And you, God, hallelujah, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, you fight the battles for us. You have done that from the day you created men. You've done that from the day you brought Moses out of Egypt and the people out of Egypt. You've done that on the day you took Joshua across the Jordan into the promised land. You've done that to every man, woman, and children, that you fought the battles for them. Father, I pray that same principle applies to this day today, that we will be people that understands that the battle is yours. They will be still and know that you are God. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. My friends, family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance before you or toward you and give you peace. Shalom, shalom. The peace that surpasses all understanding, transcends all understanding. The peace that, Lord, that will settle in your heart forever and ever. That nothing is missing in your life. We speak that nothing is broken in your life. Everything has been restored. Made all well and complete in body, soul, and spirit. In your marriage, in your children, your relationship with your mother and your father, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your boss, your relationship with each other, your friends. Nothing has been broken. It's been restored. Your need, things that you need, your health, your restoration, whether it's spirit, whether it's physical, finances in your life, blessing that has been bestowed upon you that belongs to you, nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything restored today. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people who agree, say it, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, church. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, music team. Thank you, Pastor Janet, for the announcements. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song before we... Hallelujah. Hallelujah.